Well, good evening. Welcome to our service here at Metropolitan Baptist Church, our last Sunday night service for 2014. Matthew chapter 25 this evening. Matthew chapter 25. The parable of the 10 virgins. A closing little challenge for this year as we prepare our hearts for our Lord's table. Matthew chapter 25. I'd like to praise God for 2014 being our 40th anniversary, and praise God that this church still is in existence after 40 years. And I think we can take that for granted, but we ought to praise God that it still is in existence, and it still rests upon the old landmarks of the Word of God. And that's a big, big blessing, and I'm thankful that I'm a part of this New Testament church. It was a blessing to have Pastor Mrs. Matthews here to celebrate our 40th anniversary. And thank you, church family, for embracing them and loving them. And they give their greeting. We have been in contact with them via email, and they wish to be remembered to the church family, and they continue to pray for us. So thank you, church family, for a wonderful 40th anniversary this year. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 10 reads, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose, and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would teach us this evening. Lord God, help us to set our affections upon things above. Thank you for the countless blessings over this past year. Cause us to be thankful. Bring to remembrance those blessings, we pray, that we might praise you and thank you more so. Prepare our hearts now for your table. We do ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. This is known as the parable of the 10 virgins, and within the scriptures, whenever you read of a parable is a earthly story, fictitious, made up, an earthly story made up in order to teach a spiritual truth. Within any parable, you must always look for the one main spiritual truth. So this is known as the parable of the 10 virgins. The word virgins in the scriptures is in reference to young unmarried ladies as a general principle. And these virgins were no doubt aides of the bride, preparing the bride for marriage. So the context here is that there are 10 aids to the bride that have been involved in preparing the bride for her bridegroom's collection, and when the bridegroom does arrive to collect the
the bride, then the bridesmaids will join the procession back to the marriage ceremony and a feast to follow. And within this parable gives us a fitting challenge concerning the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Note then verse 11 and 12 it reads, "Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, or be ready, you should have been ready, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." So here in verse number 13 we have the message or the main spiritual application of this parable. And it deals with the issue of being prepared. This parable gives us a fitting challenge concerning the return of Jesus Christ. He is that bridegroom. The eternal Son of God, the eternal Son of Man, who will one day return to collect His bride. Now His bride is in preparation to this very day. The bride of Christ will be made up of all those that have placed their faith in Jesus Christ as personal Saviour. That bride is yet in the formation because there are still people to be saved. But when the bridegroom returns, the bride is prepared. For those that are in Jesus Christ, we are part of the family of God. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, it talks about the family of God which is in heaven and upon the earth. So when Jesus Christ does return, the bridegroom, the bride, will be prepared and be swept away. Now, as I mentioned there in verse number 13, is the spiritual application of this parable. And that is that you and I need to be prepared for the imminent return of Jesus Christ. It could be today. It could be before the end of 2014. Could be this evening. Within the Jewish custom, a wedding ceremony normally took place in the evening. Now, the book of Matthew has the Jewish mind in focus. And the book of Matthew has an appeal upon the Jewish mind in preparing the children of Israel for the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the bridegroom. And the Lord Jesus uses this parable to challenge these Jewish people, these religious people, concerning the fact that they need to be prepared. And he uses the analogy of 10 virgins, 10 young ladies that were involved in preparing the bride, 10 virgins that are invited to the wedding ceremony, are invited to the wedding feast. And he makes reference to 5 that are wise and 5 that are not wise. Now, to understand this parable fully, it's important that we have some understanding concerning the Jewish wedding custom. For a start, marriages within Jewish culture were arranged by the parents. The parents had the privilege of organizing and arranging a spouse for their child. And normally, that once a bride was picked out for a son, a sum of money was paid over to the bride's father. And the couple entered into an engagement period known as the espousal period, or what we would refer to as engagement. And a legal document would be drawn up, and normally there was a year of engagement before the wedding feast. And for bride and groom to be, for the engaged couple, it was their responsibility to maintain purity and remain faithful and be set apart for their husband, for their wife. So within Jewish custom, it's very, very important that we understand that that engaged period was a serious period of time, and the couple were considered married. In fact, they were legally bound. They were espoused one to another. So therefore, if there was unfaithfulness between the two, or by one of the two during that engaged period of time, then you could legally divorce the person. And that's why the Lord Jesus said the only exception clause for divorce is fornication. Adultery is immorality within the context of marriage. Fornication is immorality outside of marriage. So the Lord Jesus used these words very carefully, and he said, except there be for fornication. So that's why Joseph prepared to divorce Mary, because she was found with child. So she could legally divorce him because she was engaged to be married to Mary, and she has been unfaithful. And the spiritual application for you and I in Jesus Christ, that we are espoused to Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ returns, we will be his bride. And within Jewish custom, the bridegroom collects the bride. Did you get that? The bridegroom collects the bride. So it's the bride that waits around for the bridegroom. Not the bridegroom waiting around for that bride to arrive. I'm not sure where we got that from, but it's certainly not from Jewish custom. So within our culture, that poor bridegroom awaits for that bride to turn up, hoping that she will turn up eventually. But within Jewish custom, it was the bridegroom that collected the bride, and it was the bride that awaits the coming of the bridegroom, which pictures for us the fact that we, in Jesus Christ, await the coming of the bridegroom. He is the bridegroom. We will become his bride. We await his return. And within Jewish culture, within when the bridegroom is all ready and prepared and has the home prepared and the he's ready to be married, then he, with his entourage that will follow him, normally family members and close friends, and they will make their way towards the bride's home to collect the bride. And there'll be music, there'll be rejoicing, it's a very joyful, joyful time. And there'll be this procession that takes place as the bridegroom makes his way to collect his bride. And upon collecting his bride, then there'll be a procession back to where the wedding ceremony will take place, and then the festivities to follow. It's with the collection of the bride that those guests that are invited to the wedding and the feast, they join the procession. So obviously the 10 virgins, the maids that helped to prepare the bride, were invited to the wedding. They were a part of the wedding and they were a part of the festivities to come. So they were awaiting the coming of the bridegroom to collect his bride. And upon the collection of the bride, they would join the procession back to where the ceremony would take place and the festivities would follow. So So this is a little bit of background concerning what the Lord Jesus uses to illustrate for you and I the fact that the bridegroom is Jesus Christ. And we need to be prepared for His return. Well, the Bible teaches us within this passage of Scripture, there were 10 virgins, 5 were wise because they had within their possession extra oil. And back when in biblical times there were the little different oil lamps, but generally speaking, this little oil lamp would have had just the equivalent of a wick, and olive oil was used to fuel that lamp. And if you were invited to a wedding feast, then you were responsible to provide your own light. So these virgins had their own lamp. Now 5 were wise because they had some spare oil. But 5 were unwise because they weren't prepared. They didn't carry any spare oil. Well, as time went on and finally an announcement was made at midnight. Can you imagine having a wedding ceremony in the early hours of the morning? Finally an announcement is made that the bridegroom is coming, the bridegroom is coming. So all of a sudden the virgins arise because they've fallen asleep waiting for the bridegroom to turn up to pick up his bride. And those that were wise have oil in order to trim their lamps, and they've got some light. But there are 5 unwise that had no oil, and they asked for some of the oil from those that had, but they were rejected and said, no, no, if we give you oil, then we won't have any oil. You need to go back into town and buy your own oil. So the 5 unwise virgins go back into town to find oil at some ungodly time of the morning. And the story goes on and teaches us that as this procession comes to an end, there in verse number 10, and while they went to buy, that's the unwise virgins, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. So while the 5 unwise virgins were out getting some oil for their lamps, the bridegroom returned. Collected his bride, collected all the guests, and off they went back for the wedding ceremony and festivities to follow. And then in verse number 11, afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. So the 5 unwise virgins managed to get some oil and trim their lamps, and they turned up and they started knocking on the door and asked for admission. Yet the Bible teaches us in verse number 12, verily I say unto you, I know you not. So what's the application for you and I? The application is simply this. There were those virgins that had oil for their lamps, and they were prepared for the coming of the bridegroom. Then there were those 5 that did not have oil for their lamps. And they weren't allowed entrance into the wedding festivities. And there in verse number 12, the porter, the doorkeeper said, I know you not. I don't know you. Back in Matthew chapter 7, please, helps us to have a little bit more of an understanding of what's meant by this little phrase. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23, Matthew chapter 7. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils? In thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Five virgins were refused entrance by the doorkeeper. And the doorkeeper said, I know you not. Let me ask you this evening, are you known to the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you really a part of his family? Are you really espoused as a bride-to-be to the bridegroom, Jesus Christ? So the difference between these two groups of virgins was their possession of oil at the time of the bridegroom's coming. And as the Lord Jesus has the nation of Israel in full focus within this particular book, he is mindful of the fact that there are plenty that are professors of life eternal. They profess that they have life eternal by their works. But there are few that are possessors of life eternal. The difference was the possession of oil in this parable. And the difference between a person that professes to know the bridegroom and one that is a part of the bride, awaiting the bridegroom, is the presence of the blessed Holy Spirit of God. In John chapter 3, the Bible teaches us that we are born again by the Holy Spirit of God. As sinners, we are in need of a Savior. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom the Apostle Paul said, I am chief. I'm the chiefest of sinners. And Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And a person that is prepared to admit that they are a sinner before a holy God, and they're prepared to admit that they are in need of a Savior, and they understand that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And if that person will repent of their sin and receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they are then born into the family of God. They have the presence of the Holy Spirit within them. The difference between those 10 virgins, 5 had oil, 5 had not oil. And the Bible teaches us that a person that is in Jesus Christ has the presence of the Holy Spirit within them. And he convicts of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He will work in your heart to do what's right. There ought to be a changed life. If any man be in Christ, is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And Jesus Christ was mindful that he's addressing a nation of religious people that claim to know God and claim to obey God, but have not the oil of identification that identifies them as part of the bridegroom's party, so to speak. My friend, Jesus Christ is coming again. And I'm afraid that likewise there are some foolish virgins out there that think that they are ready for the coming of the bridegroom. And you might be one of those here tonight. And as this year draws to a close, I challenge you concerning your stand before a holy God. Are you espoused to the bridegroom? Do you really belong to Jesus Christ? Because the bridegroom is coming again to collect his bride. And there will come a time in which you'll be too late. Too late.
you to be prepared for the coming of the bridegroom. Jesus said, I will come again. And the Lord Jesus uses this little parable based upon marriage, wedding customs within the Jewish people to illustrate for you and I, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Jesus Christ is coming again. He is the bridegroom. He will come to collect His bride. His bride is in formation. We are espoused to Jesus Christ. A bride becomes a bride at the point of being married. Even within our own culture, we make reference to fiancé, fiancée, being engaged, or this is the bride-to-be. It's when that young lady is adorned, prepared to be married, that she becomes the bride. Until that point, she is a spouse. She is engaged to be married. And we in Jesus Christ, for those of us that have received Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are espoused to Jesus Christ. And when the bridegroom does come back, then the bride will be ready to be swept away in order to be married for eternity with the bridegroom. What a day that'll be. And my challenge to you and I this evening on this last Sunday of 2014 is concerning the fact that you, a possessor of life eternal, or are you just a professor of life eternal? You profess, but you do not possess. Because Jesus Christ said there will come a day in which people will say, God, did not we do all these mighty things in your name? And the Lord will say, I don't know you. Does God really know you? Does the Lord Jesus really know you? So the bridegroom knows his bride-to-be. Does Christ know you personally? Are you known to him? Or are you like one of these foolish young virgins that were not prepared for the coming of Christ? So may God find us ready, prepared for the coming of the bridegroom. So within the biblical setting, it wasn't the bridegroom that waited around for the bride. No, it was the bride that waited for the bridegroom. Are you ready? Are you prepared for the coming of the bridegroom? Because he might come back tonight. That's our hope. Looking for that blessed hope of the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And as we partake at our Lord's table this evening for the last time for 2014, I trust that you and I will anticipate the soon return of Jesus Christ. Because note there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In verse number 26 it reads, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. The Lord's table is an opportunity for you and I to be prepared for the coming of Jesus Christ. And as we partake of this bread and as we partake of the fruit of the vine, it's an opportunity for us to examine our hearts and to make sure that we are prepared for the return of Jesus Christ. My friend, this evening the bridegroom is coming again. The imminent, that means at any time,
personal and visible return of Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. There is nothing that needs to take place within history in order to precede the coming of Christ. The stage is set. We await His coming. And I trust that you have oil within your lamp. I trust that you are part of God's family. And for those of us that are a part of the family of God, that are espoused to Jesus Christ to be His bride when He does return, may God find us pure, set apart for His glory. Even within our own culture, the mark of a white dress for the bride is still a straight purity, holiness. And it's a wonderful reminder to you and I that we that are espoused to Jesus Christ need to go to the marriage altar, be prepared for the coming of the bridegroom, pure and holy, as we await the coming of the bridegroom. So as we partake of this bread and as we partake of the juice this evening, we remember the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And the New Testament pattern is very simple but yet profound in Acts chapter 2, where it teaches those that gladly received His word, those that were saved, were baptized. And they were added to the New Testament church. And as they became a part of that New Testament church, they continued in correct doctrine. They continued in praying together, in fellowship together. They were in fellowship one with another. And they broke bread together. So my friend this evening, if you are saved, you've been scripturally baptized by immersion, and you are in complete agreement with our doctrines here as a New Testament church. Complete agreement. How can two walk together except they be agreed? And you are in fellowship with God, you are in fellowship with one another, your heart is as right as it can possibly be. We invite you to worship with us as we remember His broken body and His shed blood. Otherwise, I'd like to just encourage you just to observe and reflect upon what Christ has done for you. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed this evening.